Welcome to the LYA podcast. Liberty Young Adults exists to discover the community that you were created for and to follow the purpose God made you for. This podcast was created so that you can catch up on the sermons that you might have missed or just want to listen to again. Here's Pastor Corbett.
Well, welcome to LYA. We're so glad that you're here tonight. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. My name is Pastor Corbett. I serve as the next gen pastor here at Liberty. We're so glad you're here. And you joined us on a great night because we are kicking off a brand new sermon series tonight. Over the last several weeks, we've been walking through the road to the resurrection. And then last week, we had a night that was focused on missions. And so it was an awesome time to hear from some of our young adults that have gone on mission trips recently, and also to hear from our missions pastor about trips that are coming up. And just want to encourage you, if you had a chance to talk with Pastor Ken, or maybe you've looked into it more, I highly recommend looking for opportunities to get involved in the work that God is doing in our community, but also around the world. I truly believe that God can use you in a powerful way, but I also believe he will change your life as you take that next step and step outside of your comfort zone with taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So tonight we're going to be starting a new series, as you can see on the screen, called Wise Up. And it's going to be a study in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs is a book that is primarily focused around wisdom, specifically wisdom for how to live a godly or a righteous life. And so when you look throughout the book of Proverbs, you're going to see some very basic concepts. There's going to be truths that aren't super hard to grasp. They're really practical, easy to apply to your life, but yet I truly believe if you take them to heart and you apply them and you live it out, that it will drastically change your life. Do I have any Office fans in here tonight? Anybody watch The Office? Some of y'all? All right, so I saw this clip this week, and I was like, I got to share it with you. It was a clip, and it said, reading the book of Proverbs, and then it had this clip from The Office. So can you guys put that up on the screen for us?
What is the most inspiring thing I ever said to you?
Don't be an idiot. Changed my life. Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Very profound words there from Dwight. And in many ways, like, Proverbs is super straightforward. It talks about the path that you're going down and what it's going to lead to. But on the other side of that, it talks about the path of righteousness and what that leads to. And so you're going to see that there are some very straightforward, very clear messages in the book of Proverbs. And my prayer is that as we look at it, that we really take those to heart and we begin to apply those to our life. So the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. And Solomon is the son of David. How many in here have heard of King David? David and Goliath, rings a bell. Most of us in here know who that is. So Solomon is his son. But in the book of Proverbs, we see that Solomon, who is king at the time, is writing to his child. He's writing to his son, wanting to share wisdom for life. He's wanting to share the things that he's learned, his experiences, his successes, and his failures in order to help his kids be on the right path, in order to help his son make wise decisions. I've got a picture that I wanted them to put up on the screen tonight. This is my family here. I know I talk about my kids a lot, but y'all don't always get to see them. Some of you have. Most of you know Kimber because she's here on Tuesday nights with us. But the youngest Kimber is holding, that's Carter. He's 2. And then Caden is standing down there at the bottom. He's 4. But these are our boys, Caden and Carter. And as a dad, I can tell you, I truly want what is best for my boys. I want them to avoid the failures, the mistakes, the heartaches that I've experienced. But I also want to take the things that I've learned and pass them on to them at a young age. Kimber and I, our desire is that we can teach them the truths from God's word. We can disciple them from the time that they are like preschool age right now so that they don't have to start from scratch, so that they don't have to learn the things that we learned further down the road, but rather that we and their teachers on Sunday morning and their grandparents and the people that are in their life can invest in them and share wisdom and share godly truths so that they're really getting a head start in their understanding of who God is and who his word is and even just principles about life. I wanted to show you that because I know I talk about them often, and I wanted you just to see who I'm talking about. But I understand what Solomon is doing in this passage, because as a dad, you want what's best for your kids. You want to see them make wise choices. You want to see them avoid the path that's going to lead to destruction. Can I tell you tonight The whole desire behind this series is that my longing and my desire and my prayer for you is that you would live lives that are wise, that you would make good choices, that you wouldn't go down the path that leads to destruction, but rather you would choose the path of righteousness. You would choose the path of wisdom that leads to life. As I mentioned earlier, most of the truths in this book are simple, but if you listen and you take them to heart, I truly believe that they will change your life. When we look at the Proverbs chapter 1 in just a few moments, you're going to see that it's written by Solomon primarily, and that he ruled as king of Israel. His father was David. Solomon is widely regarded as the wisest or one of the wisest people to ever live. The wisdom that Solomon had was from the Lord. So before we jump into Proverbs, I want to read a passage for you that's in 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's verses 5 through 14. It'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along. It says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?' It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, 'Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commands as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days.'" I wanted you to see that passage because it really shows the origin of Solomon's wisdom. That Solomon, in his early days as the king, is in a state of humility. That God comes to him and he says, what do you long for? What do you desire? And Solomon basically answers and says, "I just stepped into this whole leadership thing and I don't have any idea what I'm doing. That my dad was a great king that went before me and now I'm responsible for leading these people and I need help. I need wisdom. I need discernment." Where many people would have asked for money or for power or for riches, Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for discernment. And it says that this request pleased God. Why? Because his request wasn't selfish. He didn't just request something that he thought would be beneficial for him or would make him have more riches, but rather he wanted something that was going to help him better lead the people of God. And so the passage tells us that God made him wiser than anyone that came before him and anyone that would come after him. So that is why we can make that claim that Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived. Not only that, but God honors his request by also blessing him with riches and things of that nature. And so I share that with you for this reason. I want you to understand the context of what we're going to be studying throughout this book. I want you to understand who we're getting the information from. That if you want to learn about wisdom, who better to go to than the person that is described as the wisest person who ever lived? That God gave him wisdom, he gave him a discerning mind, and that's the author of our book of Proverbs. So let's jump into Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 tonight. To start tonight. Y'all know I'm going to do more than that. Sorry. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." So the first six verses of this chapter really just give us the purpose of Proverbs. They give us the reason why it was written. The purpose of Proverbs. He says so that knowledge and discretion may be given to the youth, so that the simple might find prudence, so that the wise might hear and increase in learning, so that the one who understands may obtain guidance. The author is ultimately writing so that people may increase in wisdom and in understanding, and therefore live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. That's the whole purpose of the book. He's writing to give people wisdom so they can live a life that is wise and is ultimately going to be pleasing in God's sight. I want you to see what Proverbs 1, verse 7 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The key theme throughout the entire book of Proverbs is going to be wisdom. But we're going to see that wisdom and the fear of the Lord are closely related throughout. What we'll see throughout the book is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This verse translates it as knowledge. If you look at other translations, they'll use wisdom. As we jump other places throughout Proverbs while we're studying through this book, it's going to use the phrase knowledge and wisdom interchangeably when talking about the fear of the Lord. But if we want to understand how to gain wisdom, how to live a wise life, the starting point is understanding the fear of the Lord. Because it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want to get an accurate interpretation of this book, if we want to understand how we can be wise, how we can live a life walking down the path of wisdom, then we have to dig deeper into the fear of the Lord. I think this phrase can become difficult because I think as soon as we hear the word fear, we get the wrong impression that starts to lead us down the wrong path. What we'll see as we look at this is that the fear of the Lord and obedience are going to be directly connected throughout the book of Proverbs. But when we see fear, I think our first response is to think afraid. To fear God is to be afraid of God. But to fear God is not to be afraid of him, but rather to have the highest respect for him and longing to please him. The idea to fear the Lord is to have this incredible respect and reverence for him, that your heart's desire is you want to please him. I want to share a few quotes with you. The first one is from Charles Bridges. He says this, "But what is the fear of the Lord? It is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. The fear of the Lord signifies that religious reverence which every intelligent being owes to his Creator." I want to just kind of break this down and maybe sit in this area a little bit longer because I think we have to grasp what it means to truly fear the Lord. As I was thinking through this, I thought of the illustration of an earthly father. Now, I know that not everyone has the same father. Not everyone has a great father. But I want to give you an example from my personal experience. I'm extremely grateful for my dad. I'm grateful to have a dad that is a follower of Jesus that I believe did the best that he could. He wasn't perfect, but did the best that he could to lead me to know him. And so as I thought about this concept through an earthly lens, I'm not afraid of my dad. I wasn't afraid of my dad as a kid because I knew that he loved me and he wanted what was best for me. But I respected him because of the role that he was in and I wanted to please him. Now, I do think there's another aspect of this. When I was in the wrong, there was an aspect of me that feared my dad. When I was making poor choices, when I was doing things that he had asked me not to do. Why? Because I knew what he expected from me, and I knew that there were consequences for falling short. I knew that discipline of some sort was coming, but get this, it was coming out of love. There is a level of fear that arises when sin is in our life because we serve a holy God and a just God that must judge sin. But I want to give you perhaps an unpopular opinion in our culture or maybe in our world today. Discipline is loving. Discipline is loving. Now, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about anything physical. I'm just talking about discipline from the standpoint of correction. Scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines or he corrects. It even takes it a step further and says, the one who is not disciplined is an illegitimate child or is not considered a child of God. Good earthly fathers, and even more so loving heavenly fathers, correct us. Why? Because they know the end result if we continue to go down the path that we're on. It is loving to correct someone that is on the path towards destruction. I want to look at this from the other lens, the other side of the equation. You know what's the most unloving thing you can do? To see your friend or somebody you care about heading towards destruction and to say nothing about it. Think about that for a second. To know the path that they're heading down and not to intervene or not to at least try and help them. You know, most people will say, well, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to upset them. I don't want to make it awkward or uncomfortable. But I feel like when we choose that, it's actually being selfish. Because what we're saying is, I don't want them to be upset with me, or I don't want to put myself in an uncomfortable position, so I'm going to let you go down a path that leads to destruction. My encouragement to you tonight, don't be that friend. Don't be the one that just stands by and lets your friends continue to make bad choices. Let your family members continue to make poor choices that are leading them down the wrong path without saying anything. Love them enough, care for them enough, desire a better outcome for them enough to be willing to step into that awkwardness and say, hey, there's a better way. The way that you're going is not going to end well. Can I help you? Can I give you some advice? We're going to talk more about friends later, so I want you to stick with that idea. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, longing to live a life that is pleasing before a holy God. Fear of the Lord is having the highest respect for God and longing to please him. I want to try to explain this in a really practical way that I hope sits with you and helps you understand this concept. I think to fear the Lord is to live our life with an awareness that one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for the way that we lived our life. When you live your life with that perspective, that one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to answer for the choices that I made, I think it changes your decision making. I think it changes the choices that you make. And that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The second thing I want you to see in this passage is maybe a little bit more lighthearted. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but don't be a fool. The verse we read just a moment ago, verse 7, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool, what does the fool say? The fool will say, they may not say this verbally, but when someone gives them advice, when someone gives them instruction, when someone tries to help them, they think, my way is best. I already know what to do. I don't need help. I already know it all. How many of y'all in the room know somebody like that? That they already know the answer, they already know what's best? And maybe if you're not raising your hand, that person might be you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not throwing you under the bus right now. But we've all met somebody like that, that you just try to help them, and they're like, I don't need any help. I already know what to do, even though chances are they probably don't. You know, as I was preparing for this lesson, I started thinking about times in my life where someone gave me advice or shared wisdom with me, and I didn't listen to it, and was trying to think of a good story to share with y'all. And I've got to be honest, the list started getting too long of like times that happened. And I was like, maybe I'm not the right person to preach this message. Like maybe somebody else needs to get this. But I started thinking about some different instances. I think many of us in the room have been in a place before where somebody has given us dating advice of like, hey, maybe you shouldn't date that person. Maybe that's not the right person for you. And you're like, I know better than you. I don't have to listen to that advice. It's going to turn out great. And more times than not, it didn't turn out great. I thought of one instance where Kimber and I hadn't been married very long. We were living in Raleigh, North Carolina at that time. And we had just bought a house, and we went to Lowe's, and we bought a shed. And it was going to be like $100-some for them to come out and assemble the shed. And we were like, you know what? We're just married. We don't have that much money. We're going to build the shed ourselves. You know, like, we're going to assemble it. We're going to save the money. And the guy was like, I don't know if I would do that. Like, it's got a lot of pieces. Maybe you should let them come out. We're like, he's just trying to make more money. Like, if he sells this assembly, he probably gets a greater commission or something like that. Y'all, I wasn't sure that our marriage was going to make it through the assembly of that shed. It got dropped off, and there were so many pieces on it. Not only that, like, it was not a two-person job. Like, you had to get these walls up and, like, stabilize them while you're trying to add another wall. And we're out there, like, trying to hold the walls up, yelling at each other because we're both frustrated. Our neighbors were probably like, who on earth just moved in next door to us? We didn't have any family in the area. We hadn't been there long. Kimber ended up calling a girl that worked with her, and thankfully she came over and held one of our walls up so that we could finish the shed. But that was one of those instances where I was like, I got good advice from somebody, and I didn't listen to it. I should have took what they said and said, you know what? You know what you're talking about? I'm going to listen to that. I think about another time where I went online, and we were going to an Orioles game in Baltimore. We had tickets for the game. We were trying to find somewhere to stay. I found a great deal. I didn't read the reviews, but I found a great deal on a hotel, and the pictures looked nice, and I was like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time at the game. We've got a nice place to stay. Y'all, we got there, and that place was a dump. Like, the AC didn't work. Things were broken in the room. In the middle of the night, people were getting invites right outside our window, and we could hear two ladies screaming at each other. Like, it was an absolute train wreck. And afterwards, I was like, let me go back and see what the reviews were on that. They were terrible, like 1-2 stars at best. And so it was just another instance where it was like, there was some advice there. There was some wisdom that I could have read, that I could have seen beforehand, and maybe avoided some of those poor decisions. But the point that I want you to see from this portion of the passage is, don't be a fool. Dictionary.com pulls no punches when it defines fool. It says, stupid person, lacks judgment or sense. So that's the definition we're going to work with for that idea tonight. The fool doesn't listen to anyone. They already know everything. They may, and the reality is, there may not be a more dangerous place in life than to be in a place where you think you don't need any instruction, that you don't need any help. The passage tells us that the wise increase in knowledge, but the fool doesn't listen. I want to take this a step further. It's not enough to just read information or to ask people for advice. If you want to be wise, you actually have to take that advice and apply it. We've all gotten good information or helpful information from somebody before and filtered it out because we thought we knew a better way. And more times than not, we look back and go, man, I really wish I would have listened to that person. Don't be a fool. The fool resists instruction. I also was thinking about this from the lens of employers and maybe bosses and things like that. Can I tell y'all who people will most commonly say is their least favorite person to work with? The person who's not teachable. The person who comes into a job and they may be on the lowest level, but they already know everything about the job and they know more than the boss. We've all met somebody like that, and there's no employer in America that wants that person to work for them. And so I just encourage you with this passage, fear the Lord. Don't be a fool, but I want you to see the last portion. The company that you keep and the choices that you make will determine the outcome of your life. The company that you keep and the choices that you make will determine the outcome of your life. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says this, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Solomon, again, is writing to his son. He starts this portion with a warning. He warns his son. He says, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not give in. The word entice can be defined as to attract or to tempt by offering pleasures. If sinners promise you pleasures, precious goods, and a filled house, don't walk that way. Stay off that path. This is the portion of the passage where it gets very clear, kind of like Dwight earlier tonight. When you look at Proverbs, it's going to make it very clear that these are things that are going to lead to destruction. There are things that we've all encountered. There's things that we're all have been tempted with. And it says, if you go down that path, it's not going to end well for you. But yet so many of us either don't know the truth, we don't pay attention to it, or we disregard it altogether. And then we wonder why we're in a place that we never wanted to be. I want to read verses 10 through 19 for us. It says this. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives, Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. Solomon explains it in such a way to help the reader understand the outcome of their actions. That those who are greedy for unjust gain, it takes away the life of the possessor. It says the simple are killed by their turning away. A fool's complacency destroys them. I want to go back to this first thought because it's so simple and it's clear as day, yet I feel like we fail so many times in this area. If they entice you, do not give in. When you see this passage, what you see is those who are living in sin, those who are making wicked choices, those who are on the wrong path are always wanting to bring other people with them. They're saying, come with us, join us. It's going to be great. You're going to get all these riches. You're going to get all these pleasures. We're going to be able to fill our houses. We're going to pull it all together and we're going to have one purse. It's going to be awesome. And yet the very thing that they desire robs them of life. The world is searching for something more, and ironically, they are going down a path that robs them of what they're searching for. The world is searching for life. They're searching for pleasure. They're searching for joy. They're searching for something that'll satisfy. And yet the passage tells us that as they pursue all these things, they're going down a path that really robs the possessor of life, that really steals them of the one thing that they are truly searching for. Proverbs 1, verse 19 says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. And here's the warning. The passage is clear. I don't want us to be caught off guard. As I mentioned earlier, the wrong crowd is always going to motivate you to come with them. They're always going to want to take people with them. They're going to promise you the world. They're going to promise you riches. They're going to promise you pleasures. They're going to promise you a full house. Yet it's the pursuit of those very things that's going to leave you empty and rob you of life. Wisdom. I want you to get kind of a working definition of wisdom that's going to help us as we work throughout this passage. Wisdom is the ability to see forward to the outcome or the end result and to make your decision accordingly. Wisdom is the ability to look forward and to see the outcome or the end result and make your decision accordingly. To have knowledge is to have the information. To have understanding is to know what to do with it. Wisdom is to have that discernment to where you're able to see, if I make this choice, this is going to be the outcome. And in this book, Solomon is writing and he's urging us to seek after wisdom, to gain wisdom, to progress in wisdom, so that we can see the outcome of our actions and we can avoid the roads and the choices and the paths that lead us to death, that lead us to destruction, and we can make the choices that lead to life. Wisdom is having enough insight to understand the outcome of your choice. It's not completely this simple, but if you really boiled down the main theme or focus of the book of Proverbs, I would say you could explain it two ways. Or you could explain it this way. That in life, there's two roads. There's one road that leads to life, and there's one road that leads to death and destruction. The choices that you make every day either choose life or they choose a path that robs you of it. The choices that you make every day either choose life or you choose a different path that robs you of that. I'm not talking about salvation in this moment, because if you give your life to Jesus and you place your faith in him, then I believe that you have eternal life, that you have salvation. That's something that can never be taken away from you. But I believe daily we make choices that determine whether we experience the fullness of life that God has for us, that abundant life that he talks about in Scripture, or if we let the cares of this world rob us of experiencing all that God has in store for us. But here's something I want you to see. The choices that you make are impacted by the voices that you listen to. The choices that you make are impacted by the voices that you listen to. I shared with you earlier, the company that you keep and the choices that you make will determine the outcome of your life. And the choices that you make will be impacted by the voices that you listen to. So the questions are pretty simple tonight. Who do you spend your time with? Who do you listen to? I've often heard it said, if you want to be smart, hang around smart people. If you want to be successful, get around people that are successful. If you want to grow spiritually, surround yourself with people that are more spiritually mature than you are. Find people that are where you want to be and get around them. Why? So you can learn from them. So you can glean from their habits. So that you can ask them questions about things that you don't know. The sad reality is that I think some of us surround ourselves with people that have no purpose. They're wasting their life, making poor choice after poor choice, and then we wonder why we're struggling with sin and we aren't growing in our faith. Because the circle around us has influenced us. They've influenced our way of thinking. They've influenced the choices that we're making, and we find ourselves in a similar place as them. If you surround yourself with people that are walking in wickedness, that are giving in to the desires of the flesh, don't be surprised when you find yourself in the same spot. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to say tonight that we shouldn't love or care for people that aren't believers or that aren't living their life in a way to honor God. Please hear me say that. I'm not saying that you should never spend time with people that don't know God, but here is what I'm saying. It's okay for us to be around people that maybe are not spiritually mature, that maybe are not desiring to live their life the same way that we want to. But I'm not going to give them the same level of access to my life. I'm not going to give them the same ability to speak into my life that I would give other people. I'm going to love them. I'm going to let them know that I care about them. I might even go out and have lunch with them. But that's not going to be the person I go to when I need advice. That's not going to be the person that I ask about important decisions in my life. That's not going to be the person that I'm spending the majority of my time with. I'm not going to someone who's an unbeliever or who is immature in their faith and asking them about a big decision that I have to make. Why? Because I'm going to surround myself with people that are further along in their journey. I'm going to surround myself with people that are wiser than I am. I'm going to surround myself with people that are spiritually mature. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. You need people in your life that are choosing to go down the path that is wise. You need people that are trying to gain wisdom, that are trying to gain insight, that are trying to gain understanding. You need people in your life that are walking with the Lord every day. How do you gain wisdom? Spend time in God's word. Spend time in prayer. Listen to his voice. How do you gain wisdom? Surround yourself with people that are older, that are wiser, that have more experience, and learn from them. The company you keep, the people that are in your closest circle, they're going to dictate the outcome of your life because you're going to become like them. And if you're the person in the room, it's like, man, I'm going to be the only spiritually mature one in my group, and I'm going to bring the whole group up. You would be the first person in the history of, like, ever that did that. I'm just kidding. There might be one. But it's very unlikely that you're going to be that one person that's really on fire for the Lord that everybody else comes around. More times than not, you're going to lower yourself down. You're going to step down and start making choices like everybody else in the group. You got to surround yourself with people that want to grow, that want to learn, that are desiring to live for the Lord, and you've got to encourage one another. The way of the fool ends in destruction, but I want you to see the outcome of the person who hears and applies. Hears and applies. You got to get that. It matters what you do with it. It's not enough just to hear. But this is the outcome of the person that hears and applies wisdom. Proverbs 1:23 says this, "But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." The outcome of the person who walks with those who are wicked, who gives into the desires of the flesh, who doesn't learn, who doesn't seek out wisdom, is destruction. But the person who listens, the person who gains wisdom, the person who applies it, it says they will dwell secure. They will be at ease. They will be without dread of disaster. The question is very simple tonight. What outcome do you want? What path do you want to be on? I feel like I have to say before we close out that the first step to even being on the path of righteousness and the path of wisdom is knowing Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's the starting point. That there's nothing good that we can do in and of ourselves, but there's a God that loves us, that desires a relationship with us, that is willing to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, and he wants to give us a fresh start. He wants us to be able to walk with him and to know him and to grow in our relationship with him and in obedience. And that's the starting point. If you've never made that decision, I encourage you to come and talk with me afterwards tonight. Find somebody on our life team. We would love to share with you about the hope that you can have in a relationship with Jesus. But once you become a believer, the calling upon your life is to progress to spiritual maturity. That while you're on this earth, that day by day you walk with Jesus, you learn more about who he is, and you grow and you progress and you become more and more and more and more like him. We are called to reflect him by the way that we live our lives. And what I love about the book of Proverbs, and the reason why I'm so excited for us to study it, is that I feel like it gives us a very practical look at what it looks like to be wise, to make wise choices, and when we do, what the expected outcome can be. But it also is very clear on what the outcome is if you don't choose that path. And so I hope that as we look at this tonight, that the starting point is to have a fear of the Lord, that you love and you revere and you respect God so much that the desire of your heart is to please him. But also that you don't live a life that's foolish, that you don't think you have all the answers, that you don't think you know everything there is to know, but rather that you surround yourself with godly people, that you surround yourself with people that are wise, people that can encourage you. Y'all, the Christian life is hard enough on its own. You don't need people around you, your friends, the people closest to you, pointing you in the wrong direction. You need people that are going to help you. You need people that are going to be there to lift you up when you fall. You need people that are going to call you out. You need those friends that truly love you, that when you're in the wrong, when you're making poor choices, when you're headed to destruction, they're not going to let you keep going, but they're going to love you enough to say, hey, you got to open your eyes. You got to see where you're headed. This isn't what God has in store for you. You need those people in your life that are going to point you in the right direction. And my prayer is that there are so many of you in this room that that's your desire, that you can encourage one another, you can go through life together, and you can grow together, because God has called us to be a light in the midst of a dark world and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we reflect his light most when we're living in obedience to his word. And so my prayer for you tonight is that you would choose the path that's wise, that you would choose wisdom, that you would choose the path that leads to the fullness of life that God has for you and not the path that leads to destruction. I want to pray for us, then our worship team is going to come up and lead us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your goodness. And God, I thank you for passages of scripture that are so clear that we can read it and we can walk away and we can know what steps we need to take. We can know what the outcome will be if we take those steps. But God, you also make it clear what the alternative is. And so God, I pray tonight that you would impress these truths upon our heart. Lord, that we would surround ourselves with people that encourage us to live in obedience to you. And God, help us to be those people for others. God, I pray that you would use the people in this room to reach our community with the gospel, to take hope to the hopeless, to shine your light in the darkness, and we'll give you all the praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were encouraged and convicted through this message. Want to know more information about Liberty Young Adults? Visit libertylive.church/youngadults or follow us on Instagram at libertylya. See you next week.